Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jim Kawakami, the editor-in-chief of the very athletic Bay Area. Jim Kawakami.
Tim Kawakami, who's covered the NBA for over two decades, and more specifically, the Golden State Warriors over the last 12 years.
This is the TK Show.
Tim Kawakami, TK Show, with a sound file conversation with general manager of the Giants, Zach Manhasian. Zach, we are here. I'm here to ask you what your favorite playoff odds predictor. Do you believe in that stuff? Do you look at that stuff?
Well, I was with the Brewers in 2014, and at one point our playoff odds were over 95%. And we missed the playoffs for about six games. So I think it was the team spent more days in first place than any team in the history of the game to knock it in the playoffs. So to answer your question, no. I don't pay too much attention to it. And obviously, it's impossible not to look at the standings and have a sense of where you're at. So there's always a little bit of an eye on it, of course. But also, you try and bring yourself back to, we have one game today. We need to find a way to win this game, and then we'll deal with tomorrow.
Yeah, I looked at one. I'll say it said 6.6%. Do you think that's wrong? Do you even try to calculate what the number is in your head?
I don't. Like I said, it's always kind of back of mind, but front of mind is, we got Zach Allen today. He pitched really well against us the last time out. He's pitched well his last five times out. But we're excited to have Robbie on the mound. We're swinging the bat really well. And if we can keep playing the brand of baseball we're playing right now, I'll take our chances.
Really appreciate them turning up the music just as we started talking, by the way. Hopefully this will come out for a podcast. And if it is a tough listen, I'm trying to get this as close to Zach as I can. Apologize to that. Apologize to Zach for leaning in so much here. But, okay, you are playing so much better. You had, not the greatest series in St. Louis, but overall this has been a really striking change from what we saw right around the trade deadline, a little bit after the trade deadline. Is this what you've imagined? Do you tell yourself, okay, this is what we are now? Or do you still say, okay, we still got to figure out what this is here?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, right? I think we see what we can be, especially on the offensive side. But I don't ever want us to sit still. We should always be trying to evolve, always trying to figure out how we can improve, whether that's internally or externally. I personally believe in what we have here and what we have coming in our system. So think going forward, vast amount of improvements are going to be from within, but always an eye open to how to make things better. But it's been really encouraging. And yeah, two tough one-run losses in St. Louis, and hopefully those are just behind us, and winning yesterday's game is just another start to another winning streak. So and we need it. But I think a lot of guys confident, feels like we finally gelled together really well. Players playing for each other. Great to see us drive the ball. I think everyone loves the homer. I do too. And just keep challenging these guys. And I think they're having a lot of fun right now.
I know you want to say everybody, but if you can spotlight a few things that you really think are bright, the brightest signs of the last few weeks.
Well, I think number one is just you kind of get a sense of the character of the players in that clubhouse for them to fight back and put us in a position where this is even a conversation has been pretty awesome to see. That's something that sticks out in my mind. Thinking about individuals, guys like Rafael Devers and Adamas, Willie Adamas and Matt Chapman and Jung Hoo, and just nice to see those guys kind of in the midst of some hot streaks at the plate. And that's been great. And we need it. I mean, those are our guys. And if they don't perform, it's going to be tough for us to win. And then on top of it, you know, it's just been great coming out to Oracle Park, and you can kind of feel the fan base kind of pushing the support, considering, you know, how poorly we played for a good 10 weeks. It's pretty amazing to see just how committed this fan base is, and hopefully we give them some fun the rest of the way.
Yeah, what was that tough line? Like, you know, what, lose 11 to 12 here? Didn't feel very good, I imagine. Just what was your mood? What was Buster's mood? What was the whole thing like?
Buster stays pretty even keel. I try to stay pretty even keel, but it's tough. I've said this publicly, this organization and this city mean the world to me, and to be in this position, I feel honored. And the way I view it is this is an opportunity to hopefully have a positive impact and give back. I mean, my entire life got better when I came to San Francisco. I work with a lot of great people, baseball operations, business operations, people that pour their heart and soul into this. So it's tough when we lose. And obviously, you know, it comes back to our players, and it's a group of players that care immensely. So winning to me is very important to the organization. It's very important. And yeah, when we're not going well, when we're not playing up to expectations, it's tough. But I've told myself this, I've told the group this. When things aren't going well, we have to take that as an opportunity to look in the mirror and say, what can I do better? And hopefully take that very seriously and try to turn it into something of a positive.
I won't say this question for the very end. I'll put it in the middle. Bob Melvin, you guys picked up his option for next season. Since then, Buster has, you know, everything's being evaluated, as we all know. Is Bob Melvin going to be back next season?
Yeah, I think with any staffing, especially with where we're at and how important these games are, it's just important to get through today, try and win today, and just address any staffing, player moves, roster construction, all of those things that'll be for 2026 at another time. And we're just trying to keep the focus as much on this team going out and competing each and every day as possible.
You did pick up the option. So the thinking with the picking up the option in July was?
The team was going very well. Yeah. And I'm really excited about how we were playing. And you know, I think the thinking then is no different than right now, in that, you know, still focused on just going out and winning games. And that's where we want the focus to be.
I would imagine it's a good sign for everybody that the play has been so solid, that there was the team did not give up. Right, you can clearly tell that. There's been no throwing the towel of anybody in this clubhouse. I imagine that is a sign of leadership overall.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and there's a lot of energy, a lot of different people leading that energy, and look, us in the front office have had as much fun watching Drew Gilbert as I think our fans, but one of the things I want to point out with him and the energy in this dugout is it's great to have, but unless you're playing well, it only goes so far. So to see the energy that Willie's brought day in and day out, and then how he's performed, what Drew has done and how he's performed of late has been great. So but we got to keep it going. We got another 3 weeks left, and obviously every game is very important.
You're never acquiring a guy for energy. I know that, but did you know Gilbert was like this before you got him?
Yeah, we had a pretty good sense. I mean, it was someone that we looked at very heavily in the draft. Michael Holmes, our amateur director, and his staff thought very highly of Drew in the draft. I actually personally saw him in the SEC tournament that year. So he was someone that had been on our radar as a college junior, and he played with a lot of energy and emotion in college. And Buster and myself were really hoping that he would bring energy to the dugout, to the field. Now, I think it's difficult to assume that it's going to be exactly what he has brought, because it's been great to see. But we surely hope he could be a little shot in the arm. And hopefully he's more than that, because we think he's got a lot of ability and a chance to be a really good player.
I just look at his slugging percentage. It's like 540. It's,
yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You did make the moves at the deadline. Obviously, you were selling a bit. The calculation there was... Should explain to me what, you know,
yeah.
Sell yet still compete. Is that basically?
Yeah, I mean, I think very just to the point was we just weren't playing well enough. And, you know, we had a pending free agent reliever, Tyler Rogers, who we think the world of. But also given what was coming back in the trade, Blake Tidwell, who's in AAA, recovering from a barky shoulder, doing well. Drew Gilbert, corner outfielder that we felt could play on our big league team right away. And Jose Buto, who's gone in our bullpen and we thought could pitch in leverage reliever situations. So, you know, with that deal in particular, tough to trade someone of Tyler's caliber, especially having been drafted and developed by this organization, but felt that we were getting players that could impact the team now and in the future. And in Camilo's case, getting four players back from the Yankees, we felt like the talent level of what we were getting was just going to be too difficult to pass up. And, you know, felt like we had some relievers that could step up and fill in roles. And, look, I'm excited about what Joey Lucchese's done, what Matt Gage has done, what Yoel Pagrero has done. And there's opportunity beyond that for guys to go and grab some key innings here. So, overall, it's worked out as well as we could have hoped. And the guys we traded, we always wish them nothing but the best and just focus on what we got back and hopefully maximize what they can do.
You give up two back-end relievers. Is that something that you're going to have to address in the offseason?
Yeah, I, like I said, I think when it comes to next year, we talk about staff and when we talk about players. Right now, the focus is 2025. Every day is a huge game, 100% focus there. And I've always said this, when it comes to building a roster, we're going to look at every possible scenario to get better. And it's always a cost that we just have to figure calculus of, is it worth it? So I'm sure we'll be looking all over and just see any way we can improve.
This is your first season together, you and Buster, your first season as a general manager. It's a stupid question. Has it gone what you expect? Because it never goes like anyone ever expected, but what would be the things that you underline? Like, this is something we dealt with and we got past it. And it was important to do that.
Well, the bipolar level of play was pretty difficult for me. And I think recognizing I'm in a leadership position, people are looking to me to be a leader along with Buster, trying to stay even keel. Big picture, things like that are just so important for everyone else. So yeah, it was very trying, but we're sitting here on September 8th or whatever it is, and we have a legitimate chance to play in October, and I think every year that's what we want. So overall, I can't say any huge surprises, except that it's been a pleasure to work with Buster, and I feel very fortunate to work with all the other members of not only baseball operations but business operations Swab. I am a pretty lucky guy.
Finishing over 500, I know you want to make the playoffs. I know you want to have the best record possible, but this team has not finished over 500 in a couple of years. Is that a milestone for you?
No, I think for me, the milestone is playing in October and being a playoff team. So, you know, if that doesn't happen, I think there'll be a lot of us who are pretty disappointed. We feel like that's what our fan base deserves, and that's our goal, is to be playing meaningful games in the playoffs.
They make the huge move for the Devers, obviously. We know what the capital expended, the actual capital expended.
Yeah.
What was it watching him? I mean, I think you look at a swing, you go, this guy's going to hit. You know he's going to hit.
Yeah.
Was that generally the mood through the beginnings of this?
Yeah. I don't think there was any doubt about him performing. I think there were some concerns. We knew that he was battling through injuries. We didn't want to put him in a tough spot of playing a new position as he was coming through some physical ailments. But Rafi's a gamer. He wanted to be out there. He's been a great teammate. And it's been so much fun to watch him these past couple of weeks because I think we're seeing what he can do with the bat and how much that middle of the order bat can just change everything around him.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He looks like he played first base. that doesn't seem to be a big change for him.
Yeah, he's done really well, and I think he's an athlete. He really is. I mean, he handled third base just fine for obviously a large part of his career, and we felt he would be able to make the transition well. He's worked hard at it. There's still going to be some growing pains and some plays that he has to deal with that he just hasn't been forced to make playing there for the first time. But I think he has improved immensely since we acquired him, and it's a credit, obviously, to Rafi, but also a lot of people who are working with him to help him get better. So we're excited about how he's progressed there, and I would not be surprised if we're sitting here at some point next year talking about him being above-average defender at first base.
You mentioned Buster keeping a pretty cool hand. I mean, has there been a moment where it's like, wait a minute, Zach, what are we doing now? Or has it just been... Okay.
Well, it's not to say that Buster isn't emotional. He is a fierce competitor. I give him credit. He does a great job of hiding it. But he wants this as bad as anybody. But I think he does a great job of controlling it and channeling it in the right direction. So there are definitely times where we're talking and he's not afraid to challenge me or our staff. And we've got a great group of people who welcome that. And I think we all feel fortunate that you know, Buster's leading the charge.
Listen, I appreciate it. I'll just wrap up the TK show, I guess, if I introduce it here. Thank you. Appreciate it, Zach. That's all I got for you today. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.